I want to invite now your attention to the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 14th chapter. Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. We are looking at verses 9 through 14. Exodus 14. Everybody has it, say amen. Amen. If you need more time, just say, hold on, Pastor. I guess everybody has it. Exodus, the 14th chapter, verses 9 through 14. It is one of those semi or very familiar passages of Scripture. I read in your hearing. So the Egyptians pursued them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Tell your neighbor, don't be afraid. Stand still. Tell them, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Watch this. Which he will accomplish for you today. Watch this now. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Oh, somebody ought to shout right there. Y'all take too much for granted. Somebody ought to shout right there. The Lord will fight for you.
Yes, he will.
We ain't preaching yet. Just hold on. But I can't go by this without showing you a couple of things. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Somebody say today. Lord, I don't need you tomorrow. I need you right now. Tell somebody today. Oh, it gets better. For the Egyptians whom you see today. Tell somebody today. Ye shall see no more forever. Tell somebody it's over. Now, it is interesting. It is interesting. I want you to watch this now. Watch what's happening in this text. We told you long before we left, leave us here by ourselves. Let's continue to do what we do, which is serve the Egyptians. We rather to be slaves than to be free. Song's funny. That's where a lot of people are right now. Because you brought us over here to die. Now who told them? Who told them that they were going to die? And if we're going to die, we rather die as slaves. Well, the devil is a liar. Oh, freedom. And before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Bow your heads with me. Father, we pray that it would please you to share a word with us today. As we open up our hearts and open up our understanding, we pray that you will just be pleased to speak to us. Thank you for lifting us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you. Now have your way in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Come on, the church said, amen. Would you give the Lord a great praise as you take your seats? Kenny Rogers was advising some people in song. And Kenny Rogers says, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. And you got to know when to walk away. That's his advice. So if Kenny was in this position, he probably would have told them to fold it and walk away. Then some of the folks say, you ought to pick your fight. You ought not to be involved in everything. You got to pick your fight. By way of introduction, I want you to see that the Israelites left Egypt. As they journeyed toward Israel home, God chose to lead them through a longer route or route that protected, listen carefully, trained, and tested them. The route or the route that God is taking you is for the purpose of protecting you,
yes,
training you, and testing you. God could have very well got you there sooner. But if he had taken you there so soon, you would have never been protected. You would not have been trained. And you sure enough would not have been tested. Then they came upon an impossible situation. I want to lift up the theme this morning, facing the impossible. I want to ask you, what are the impossible situations that you are facing today? If you are, like most of us, facing an impossible situation, I want you to hear me today. I have good news for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to panic. You don't have to give up. And you sure enough don't have to choose to close your eyes and pretend like nothing's happening. So often we want to close our minds and close our eyes and pretend that nothing is happening. But
in our text today, we find the people of God facing the impossible situation. Yeah. On their back are the enemies marching to take them. On their left and on their right are tower of rocks and desert, while on their front is the Red Sea. They are literally surrounded by big problems, and they have little or no time to think and to find solution for their escape. They are facing an impossible situation. If they had called on risk management experts, maybe they would have advised them and give them the following suggestions. Maybe they would have said to Moses, the leader, and to Israel, the people, lift the surrender banner, raise your white flag before the enemy could kill all of you. In other words, surrender. And to most, when it comes to risk management, that sounds like a pretty good idea. Or they might have said, take chances by quickly mobilizing the people to fight back the enemy. Get your people ready and have them fight. Maybe they might overcome. Or another suggestion from risk management expert might be, delay their capture by hiding under the rocks or running onto the desert. If they're going to catch you, let them work for it. However, I want you to pay close attention. God, through his prophet Moses, gave a different, completely solution from what the human experts would give. Moses speaks the word of God, and I want you to understand how critical it is to know the word of God. Yeah. So often when we are facing trials and trouble and pain and situations, we have a tendency to run to human. We want to hear what the experts, quote unquote, have to say. But I want to submit to you, there are some situations, one like the one in our text, where no human solution can be found. That's why the psalmist said, Lord, give us help in time of trouble, for vain is the help of man. There are times when we don't know where to go. Do I talk to anybody here? There are times we are facing situations we don't know what to do. Anybody ever been there? There are times we don't know what to do, where to turn and where to go. But I want to submit to you, if ever a time you find your place knowing not what to do, just call on the name of Jesus. Somebody says there's healing in that name. Somebody said there's salvation is that name. I heard the choir says, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, bright and morning star. Whatever you need, call him. So whenever you're facing an impossible situation, turn to the word. Man's opinion change. Man is so fickle. Man is unreliable. When he tells you to run, you need to stop. When it tells you to walk, you need to crawl. But if you check the word of God, God is always accurate. What God says to us may not make sense, but what God says to us always works. Tell somebody the word works. So Moses now, as the leader, speaks the word of God to the people. You need to understand that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
You also need to understand that God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? God will tell you to do strange things. Things that don't make any sense to the human mind. And so watch Moses in verses 13 and 14. Here's what he says. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Verse 14, "The Lord," "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Brother Drago, this is a problem. How are you going to walk up to people in an impossible situation and tell them, "Hold your peace, the Lord will fight for you"? Well, I want to show you this morning, very simply, straight out of Word, God's threefold formula to face the impossible. Simply, remember the advice of the risk management expert? We're going to counteract those right now. The first thing that Moses said to the people of Israel, which was not his word, but rather the word of God, first thing he says was, "Do not be afraid." Tell your neighbor, "Don't be afraid." In other words, no need to surrender. No need to surrender. The appearance of the Egyptians naturally threw the Israelites into a state of the most acute terror. But I want you to see something in the text. God allowed them to be human. I want you to get this. Nowhere in the text do you find God becoming upset because they were afraid. In fact, let me take you to the New Testament. You would recall, the Bible tells us that all of the elders were in the upper room. And the Bible tells us that the reason after Jesus had died that they were in the upper room was because they were afraid of the Jews. And I want you to notice the first thing that Jesus says to them was not, "Why are you so fearful? You ought to be ashamed of yourself." Jesus said one thing to them, "Peace be unto you." I want to help somebody. I want to give you permission to be human. Don't deny that you are afraid. Don't deny that you're scared. God does not have a problem with you being human. God has a problem with you being phony. God has a problem with you being a hypocrite. I got a problem with folk when you say, "How you doing, sister? Blessed of the Lord and highly favored." I understand that, but I ask you, how you doing today? Now, I know there are a lot of folks, all they do is complain. I know that. But you and I need to understand, before we can be anything, just keep that chakra. Before we can be anything, we first have to be human. Tell your neighbor, be human. Be human. I want to give somebody the permission to be human. To understand that God knows your frame. And God remembers that you are dust. And you're too hard on yourself. And you allow others to be too hard on you. I am not giving you an excuse to sin. I want you to understand this. I am giving you a reason to understand that God loves you just the way you are, human. And there's nothing wrong with being human. If there were, God would not himself become human. So when he became human, he elevated, lifted up humanity, and he says,
there is something about being human. In fact, the Bible says after he had created Adam and Eve, he said, behold, it is good. Tell somebody I'm good. God don't make no junk. And you're looking at God's creation. Some of you are not proud of yourself. You're not pleased with yourself. That's why the cosmetic world is making so much money. We want to keep changing. Plastic surgery here, plastic surgery there. And ain't nothing wrong about enhancing yourself, but learn to love yourself. Learn to appreciate. I want to get somebody understanding that God wants you to be human. Watch this now. We do not read that on this occasion God dealt severely with them for the wild, ungrateful words they uttered. You got to understand their situation was really very serious. And I believe that placed in the same kind of circumstances, we would have perhaps not have shown much more faith than they did. In fact, the truth is, many of us face less severe situation, and it's shameful how we behave. Many of us deny Christ. Many of us curse. And our situation is not as severe as theirs. Notice also, they were unused to being free. It takes time, my brothers and sisters, to teach those who have always been slaves to appreciate the blessings of freedom. And that is one of the problems we face as a people. When we were going through hell, over 400 years of slavery, most of us understand that our forefathers had a faith that took them through. Even through the heat of the day and the pain of work, we would hear them singing songs of Zion, humming to Amazing Grace. What a friend we have in Jesus. And always believing that God will see them through. They relied on each other. They took care of each other. They looked out for each other. But watch this. We have now become free. And we don't believe in God like we used to. And we don't care for each other like we used to. So we have been able to handle slavery. But now that we are free, I've never seen a more enslaved free people. Now you may laugh, but this is serious. Look at how we dress. When we didn't have the money, we put on clothes. Now we have the money, we want to show as much as we can. Some of us have been where we've been so long that now that even God has changed us, we don't know how to behave. And that's why Paul made it very clear, and such were some of you, but now you are washed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a brand new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's got to be a change of mind, a change of attitude, and a change of action. The things I used to do, I can't do no more. So we want to criticize the Israelites, and yet we behave no different. At least I keep you too long. Watch the next thing. First of all, Moses said, as God spoke to him, don't be afraid. No need to surrender. And I want to challenge somebody, no matter how rough it looks in your life, the devil is a liar. Do not surrender to him. Come on, I want to say that one more time. I am not playing down your situation. I'm not taking it lightly. But I want you to understand that there is nothing that you can be facing, but that God is bigger than any problem. I submit to you, do not surrender to the devil. Scripture says, give no place to the devil. Stand. Which takes us to the next point. Stand still. Tell somebody, stand still. No need to fight back. I know what they're going to say. You are a sissy. Let me give you a story about myself. I remember it like yesterday. When I was going to primary school, this is way back. I'm just 15 now. So this was like a couple of years ago. There was a young girl, a young lady, that kept messing with me. No, she didn't like me, or maybe she did, but didn't know how to show it. She was always picking on me, trying to start a fight. She lived up on the hill. Funny thing is, I gone right up where she now lives, close enough. She was always picking me, and I would never fight back. But you know what that made me look like? All the boys in particular looked at me as a sissy. He can't fight. He's a sissy. And then the girls look at me like, he can't fight either. Well, my mother came out, because by this time, she hadn't hit me. She better not. By this time, she had said enough that got me real angry. And the tears began to flow down my face. And of course, that made the boys cheer on even more. What a sissy you are. Mm-hmm. My mother interrupted the whole thing and he said, listen, you all don't know my son. He's not crying because of what she said. He's not crying because he can't do nothing. He's crying because he knows how badly he can mess her up. Now, this is true. Some of you never seen that side of me. And so I learned at a very young age, stand still. Don't fight back. Now, there's a time for that. We understand all that. But in this context, when you're facing an impossible situation, Moses said, first of all, don't be afraid. Don't surrender. Secondly, he says, stand still. What does this mean? Stand still. Israel's behavior. I told you about being human. Now I want to go to the flip side of that. It's okay to be human, but you can be crazy being human too. So don't be a crazy human. Because the way they behave was faithless. I want you to see this. They did not wait to ask or even to see what God, who had already done so much for them, was about to do now. But at once, they concluded that he would leave them to perish. In other words, you brought us over here to die, and God's going to abandon us. I want to say to somebody, in the words of the songwriter, he didn't bring you this far to leave you. I don't know about you, but if I was going to die, I would have been dead a long time ago. I want to say to you very candidly, you cannot die until God says he's ready for you. I don't care what devil, I don't care what enemy you have, you will not die but live to declare the works of God. God did not bring you this far. Tell somebody the devil should have killed me when he had a chance. Come on, tell your neighbor, he should have killed me when he had a chance. He should have killed me before I know what I now know. Come on. How many of you here today can say, if I knew then what I know now,
I would have done what I did then differently. Come on, talk to me now. The devil should have killed me before I knew that God in Christ,
yes, sir,
died on the cross. He should have killed me before I knew that before eternity began, God saw me. And like he said to Jeremiah, I called you to be a prophet. I ordained you. I formed you. And I put a mark on you. I protected you so that no matter where you go, my hands are upon you. The devil should have killed me long before I knew that God loves me more than anybody could. I want you to watch the hypocrisy. Verse 10 says, and we have to give them credit. They cried, in all fairness to them, they cried unto the Lord. Do you see it in verse 10? They cried unto the Lord, which literally means they prayed. You got to give them credit for praying. But then in the next breath, we read of them reproaching God's servant and God's delegate and cussing him out. So they were faithless prayers that come from faithless hearts. In other words, they prayed because it was a ritual. It was something you do. How many of us pray because it's just something? Don't lift your hands. You pray before meal, not because you're thankful, but it's just a habit. When you were going to primary school, they taught you how to say your grace before meal. Yeah? And so now you are on automatic. You get your food and you hurry off something because you just know that's what you do. Or some of you may have come to church because it's Sunday and that's what we do. So you are on automatic religious pilot. But it doesn't mean anything. So you pick up your Bible and you read, not because you really love the word, but it's just something you do. It's a religious act. God is saying, I want you to get beyond being religious, and I want you to have a relationship. Because right after they prayed, they begin to cuss. You know anybody like that? No, come on. Do you know anybody? It's not you. It's not your neighbor. Do you know anybody like that? Right after they prayed, they cuss. Okay, check this. We're going to dismiss church in a little bit. And you can be driving. You just had a good time in the Lord. And somebody is going to mess with you. Somebody is going to cut across you in the street. And you're going to get road rage. And the same voice with which you praise God in song, you're going to now give them a piece of your mind. I know what I'm talking about. So don't criticize Israel. A whole lot of us are just like them. We've just prayed. Have you ever said, God, take this. I give it all to you. It all belongs to you. And no sooner than we get off our knees, I got to see how I'm going to fix this one. This don't look good at all. I got to fix this one. So they were faithless. But more than anything else, they were also ungrateful. How willingly they had been led out of Egypt. They were glad to get out of Egypt. But watch this. At the first approach of danger, they turn on their leader and taunt him for having given him or given them the freedom. And as I reflect, I realize that people are fickle. I reflect on the life of H.L. Stout, and I can tell you many stories, but I can tell you just one. I can remember when he had commissioned for the complex to be built. There were a whole lot of naysayers, people that didn't care about that, and people that had a whole lot to say. Now, can you imagine? And this is the flip side of it. Can you imagine what we would have been like had we not had a complex? You see, what I've understood is that a leader does not have the benefit of hindsight. Everybody, after it's done, can start talking about, yeah, great idea. Or you should have done so and so. A leader does not have that. A leader has to go with his vision and do what needs to be done, even if it's unpopular. And I would say to you that HL was such a man. At least I keep you too long. Look at the verse again. First of all, he says, what does he say? Do not be afraid, which is don't be afraid, which means don't. See, y'all sleeping. This is not just an exercise. You're just religious people. You got to get this in your spirit. Don't be afraid, which means don't surrender. You got it? So when I said don't be afraid, you say? Right. When I say stand still, you say? No need to fight back. Thank you. So here we go. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Ah, you got it. Finally. You need to write this down. You need to get this in your spirit. It's not just for today. It's for life. Because you will, if you're not yet, face an impossible situation. What are you going to do? You're going to do what everybody tells you to do. Risk management. All the experts. You're going to do what they tell you to do. And none of that going to work. Because your battle is spiritual. You cannot get human advice for spiritual. Oh, Jesus. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh cannot give you the solution for the spirit. That's where a problem is. That's why the old bear man taking all your money. And that's why you're wasting all your paycheck on the lottery, trying to hit the jackpot. What you have is a spiritual problem, and you're trying to solve it with physical means. So got everybody reading your palm. Oh, yeah. Funny thing, they can read your palm, but they didn't see that thing coming right, knock them in the head. How are you going to read my palm? You can't read your palm. If you knew so much, how you didn't know that he was going to leave you tomorrow? You see how crazy we are as human beings. Finally, he says, see the salvation of the Lord, which means no need to hide. I want you to take a clue from and a cue from Moses. Moses, in all of this, did not return railing for railing. I want you to watch the text. Now, there were times when he got off his rockers, when God told him to speak to the rock, he hit the rock. He had an anger problem. But this time, Moses is cool. He does not return railing for railing. When the people spoke ill of him, angry words came out of their mouths. He does not use his angry words in response. In fact, as you read this text, you will notice that when they murmur, Moses prays. You got to learn this. When they look to the visible chariots that were coming and closing in on them, Moses looks to the power which is mightier than any. When they panic in fear of imminent death, Moses is calm, undaunted, and self-collected and gives them the best counsel. What a leader. When everybody around him is panicking, I'm talking about the worst situation. It's an impossible situation. You've got mountains on both sides. You've got the enemy behind you catching up with you, and you've got the Red Sea ahead of you. Where do you go? And Moses is calm.
And out of his mouth comes the greatest advice that has ever given in an impossible situation. He says, don't be afraid. He said, stand still. And I want you to see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish today. The situation was one in which only God could bring salvation. If you've never been there, you will get there. They could do nothing for themselves. The salvation must be God's from the first to the last. From the beginning to the completion, it's got to be God. Paul says, I am confident that he who has begun a good work in you will finish it. Tell somebody, God will finish it. This word is for somebody. When your back was against the wall, you trusted God. He brought you out. Yes. He took care of you. Yes. Now that the problem is no longer there, what are you going to do? Listen to me. God would bring them salvation. The fact that God had brought them into this strait was of itself a pledge that God will find a way to get them out. As one person says, if God brings you to it, God will in fact bring you through it. Where are you today? What impossible situation are you facing? I want you to understand it's not an accident. And this is the problem that I have with a lot of folks who are just religious. They see the devil in everything. They can't get sick. It's the devil. They can't get sick. It's the old bear man. They can't get sick. It's some jumbi. Remember, I told you at the beginning that God has a way of taking us the long route to our journey so that he could protect, train, and test us. What in the world, how would you be as a student if you go through all your life as a student and never have one examination? One test. Then you will never know how good you are. So if you understand that, you ought to be saying, God, thank you for the trials. Come on, get bold now. Thank you for the trials. Thank you for the pain. Thank you for my disgusting neighbor. And you might be that disgusting neighbor. Because now you're beginning to see things through the eyes of God. This is what he says, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall perform for you this day. Don't take matters in your own hand. Watch him work. And as we come down to the close, we all know that it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to relax in the face of danger. We all know that. Jesus conquered that, though. You remember when the boys were out on the boat? He told them, let's go over to the other side. You know the story. And Jesus told them that, and Jesus went to the back of the boat and found a pillar. One writer says he found a pillar. The other one says he just lay down in the stern of the ship. But whether he had a pillar or not, the Bible says he went to sleep, chilling out in the midst of a storm. Now, folks going to think you crazy. Because let's be honest, there's some of us in this house who should be crying all night. Don't lift your hand. Because of what you've been through and even because of where you are, you should be crying your eyeball out. Because you are facing an impossible situation. And for most folk, they got to drink their way to sleep. I want to say to you, don't surrender to alcohol. Don't surrender the drugs. You don't need that to put you to sleep. He says, I will give my beloved sleep. There are a lot of folks who are suffering from insomnia because the weight and the pressure of life is too tough, an impossible situation. And so it's not easy, but God can handle it. And so now I want to close with this. I want to close with these. It seems not practical,
to do nothing in a time of distress or expect that something good is going to happen when all we can see is darkness everywhere. And no wonder the Bible declares that the just shall live by faith. And so in closing, I want to share with you three life applications coming out of the three solutions that God gives. And here they are. Write them down. You're going to need this. I'll wait for you. Number one, I cannot overcome my fear. It's on the board in case you don't miss me while I'm going. I cannot overcome my fear unless I bring the problem to God in prayer. Say this with me. I cannot overcome my fear unless I bring the problem to God in prayer. Now, there are some presuppositions. It presupposes that you recognize you do have a problem. That's where most of us are. We will not admit that we have a problem. Okay? It is not immature. In fact, it's the opposite. It's quite mature to admit I do have a problem. Because if you don't admit that you have a problem, you'll never find a solution. And one of the problems is most of us are in denial. Most of us do not want to face the reality that we do have a problem. And so we are constantly afraid. And we mask our fears in so many different ways. So number one application, I want to say it one more time. I cannot overcome my fear unless I bring the problem to God in prayer. Principle or application number two. I cannot stand still and hold my peace unless I learn to trust everything under the power of God. You see, if I'm trying to fix it, I can't be relaxed. And that's why a lot of Christians are so fidgety, so restless. Because I always said to folks, if you got to fix it yourself, you are on your own. And anybody that's on his own has got to work day and night, and you never get it fixed. But when you learn to trust the power of God, I always say to myself, Brother Mel or Melly, don't call me that. When you read the Bible in Psalms 121, what does it say? I think it's about verse 8. That God never slumbers. And he never sleeps. Psalms 121? Yeah. So this is how simple I am. I said, okay, I'm human. I get tired. I need to sleep. Okay, God never slumbers, and God never sleeps. He don't get tired. He don't need to sleep. I am human. I get tired. I need to sleep. If he is my God, he never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's watching over me. Why am I up? Wait a minute. Who's watching who? Who's taking care of whom? And you got to learn this simple but very profound lesson that you serve a God who has promised to take care of you. And if he never slumbers and he never sleeps and he says he's my God, I will bring it to pass, then I have to learn how to trust him to the point where I say, God, I have prayed, I've done what you told me to do. Good night, God. See you in the morning. And by the way, when you get up, that which was there is no longer there. Do I have a witness? Finally, life application number three. I'm going to repeat them just in case you missed it. I cannot visualize the salvation of the Lord unless I immerse myself in praise and worship. This has nothing to do with whether or not he fixes the problem. Praise is just, it's just a matter of admiring God for who he is. Watch it, he didn't do nothing yet. So even if my mountain is still growing,
even if the trouble is still ahead of me, praise is what I do. That's why the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't wait till the problem is solved. I don't wait until the need is met. I praise God because of who he is. Somebody ought to shout, God, you are great.
Yes, yes.
You are awesome.
Yeah.
Watch it. He didn't do nothing yet. Just who he is. I wish I had time to tell you who he is, man. You go to Genesis, he is the creator. The beginning. He's the word. I mean, there's a lot of stuff he is in Genesis. Make something out of nothing. My God is so great. In Exodus, he's the deliverer. Watch him bringing them out with a mighty hand. I wish I had time. I'll tell you all about him. But I praise him. And then I worship. I read in the book of Job chapter 1 and 2, the Bible says when the devil brought his best shot and knocked Job to his feet, the first thing that Job did, fell on his face and worshiped. Can you imagine everything that Job had was taken away from him? That's the first round. Devil took it all. God said, you can touch everything, but don't touch him. So the devil, by God's permission, took his cattle, took his land, and took his stuff. And Job still said, I will bless you. Even though you slay me, I still trust you. The devil come back before God. He said, wait a minute. I thought this fellow was only serving you because of what you give him. But the boy is still worshiping you. So the devil came now trying to renegotiate. He said, God, I want you now to give me additional permission to touchy. I want touchy. I touchy stuff, and he's still worshiping you. He's still trusting you. So give me a chance to touchy. You all Tertullian? Touchy. So God said, all right, go ahead. So he literally touched Job, and he had boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And guess what? Job gonna cuss God now. That's what his wife said. Why cuss God and let him kill you? Job still come out. I know that my Redeemer lives. And even the worms should destroy this body. Yet in my flesh, that's a paradox. Even the worms destroy the body, yet that's crazy talk. Because you see, the worms can only touch this natural body. But when the worm touches this natural body, God's going to give me a new body. And that new body won't have no arthritis. That new body won't have any pain. That new body won't be crippled. That new body. So Job says, even though he kills me, I will trust him. Let me repeat for your hearing and your knowledge, and I really want you to write it down. This is not just for service. This is for your life. Write these down. When you face the impossible situation, number one, do not be afraid. Don't surrender. You got it. Watch how they all tie in. Okay? So here it is. Application. I cannot overcome my fear unless I bring the problem to God in prayer. That's what they did in John 6. We got 5,000 men plus women and children, about 20,000 total, and we got no food. But there's a little boy there with a little lunch. What did they do? Brought it to Jesus. You'd be amazed what happens when you bring your problem to Jesus. Yes, sir. Number two, I cannot. Well, number two says stand still, which means no need to fight back. You got it. You're good students. Now, you're a little slow, but you're catching up. Amen. So stand still means no need to fight back. Life application. I cannot stand still and hold my peace unless I learn to trust everything on the power of God. And finally, as you stand, because if you don't stand, I'll fail to preach all over again. Please stand. Finally, write this down. See the salvation of the Lord, which means no need to hide. Don't hide. It's strange when the bottom falls out and when things are not going right in our lives. It's strange to me. One of the first things that Christians do is stay away from church. Have you noticed? That's a trick of the enemy. He's trying to isolate you. We call it divide and conquer. He's trying to keep you away from your base. You got to wise up. So, I close. I cannot visualize the salvation of the Lord unless I immerse myself in praise and worship. Somebody give the Lord praise. Father, we want to thank you. We don't know who in this house is facing or will face an impossible situation. But God, we are so grateful that if you have brought us to it, you can bring us through it. So teach us how to not be afraid. Teach us how to stand still. And teach us how to see the salvation of God. And help us, Lord, to rise in victory. Because we are indeed more than conquerors. Yes. Help us, Lord, like Job, even if we lose all the stuff, and even if our health fades, and even if everything around us goes bad, we still will trust you. I pray for that one who's still struggling. May they trust you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I will trust.
I will trust in you always.
Oh, Ancient of Days.
Oh, Ancient of Days.
Come on, trust him, trust him.
For you.
You are the rock of the
ages.
I will.
And I will trust in you.
Always.
Always. And I will trust in you.
Always.
Always.
Oh, Ancient of Days. Of the age.
Of the age.
I will.
And I will trust in you always.
I want us to bow our heads. As we get ready to pray, this word is for somebody here. I'm going to ask you to come forward, those of you to whom God has spoken. Wherever you are, let's come forward. I just want to pray with us, because I will stand with you. Come. You maybe are now facing an impossible situation, or you just want God to prepare you to face that impossible situation. I'm going to ask you to come as we close. And I'm going to ask you to follow this strong advice from Moses. Don't be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of God.
Because every time we take matters into our own hands, we mess it up. More of you need to come. That's the truth. So come. It may be health. It may be wealth. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter to God what it is. It's just that He is God. So let's get off our high horse and just admit that we do have a problem. If we can get you to that point, if God can get you to the point to admit that I am human, then He can get you through the rest of it. Come on. Let's pray. Those of you that are in your seats, thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray. First, we just want to thank you. We want to praise you. God, I want to lift you up. I want to magnify your name. Then, Father, I want to confess that I've not always believed you like I should. I've not always trusted you like I should. There were times when I was afraid. There were times when I didn't stand still. I got restless. And Father, there were times when I hid. There were times when I took matters into my own hand. And I know I'm not alone in this. And Father, there is someone here who is facing an impossible situation. Red seas ahead of them. That's danger. Mountains on both sides. That's trouble. The enemy is behind. That's a siege. We are in trouble. There's nowhere to go. We can't go back. We can't go to the left nor the right. And sure enough, it doesn't look like we can go forward. Yet, we hear you say to Moses, if we read a little further, tell the people to go forward. Lord, that is the word for somebody here this morning. They have stopped living. They have stopped living. They have put their lives on hold, obsessed with this situation. And yet you say, don't be afraid. Stand still, watch me, as I deliver you. Now go forward. I declare this morning that they will go forward. I declare this morning that they will go forward. I declare this morning that they will conquer that which was already conquered. I declare this morning that they will tread on all the land. And we ain't talking about physical land. All the territory that they will conquer. That God, they will do all that you said they will do. Somebody is going forward. Thank you, Father. We declare that they are healed from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. We declare that their family is covered. We declare that that job is already theirs. We're moving forward because the land is ours and we go now to possess it. We've wandered too long in the wilderness. We're tired of going around in circles, Father. Now we are ready to obey you. We've seen how you protected us. We've sat at your feet and we've been trained by you. We've been tested to the limit. And now, Father, we declare that we are ready to go forward. Thank you. Folks are looking on, trying to figure out when we're going to flip, when we're going to go crazy. We're not crazy. You're not giving us the spirit of fear. No, we're not crazy. You've given us the spirit of love. You've given us the spirit of power. You've given us the spirit of a sound mind. So we declare we're going forward. And not only us, but we are taking generations with us. We're not going to leave our children. We're not going to leave our family. We're going forward together. Together in faith. Oh, you didn't bring us to the Red Sea so we can drown here. God, you got more for us. You didn't bring us here so that the enemy will take over. We have been brought here so we can move forward. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.